Hello, my name is Melissa Hoffman. I'm a public health associate at the Medical Society of the State of New York, and I'm joined today by Dr. Eugene Schiff and Dr. Sarah Nosel, both speaking on behalf of themselves. Dr. Schiff is Director of Adult and Childhood Vaccines at the Institute for Family Health and works at the Stevenson Family Health Center, a federally qualified community health center in the Bronx. Dr. Nosel is boarded in family medicine and clinical informatics, serving as VP for Innovation and Optimization and Chief Medical Information Officer, as well as providing direct patient care in the South Bronx with the Institute for Family Health. We will be discussing the meningococcal vaccine and the serious complications associated with the vaccine-preventable meningococcal infection. Dr. Nosel and Dr. Schiff will also review the recommendations for who should receive the meningococcal vaccine and at what ages, including the types of vaccine available. My first question is, what is meningococcal disease?
Thanks so much, Melissa, for having us. This is Sarah Nosel. I think the most important thing for everyone to know is that meningococcal disease is exceedingly rare. But because it is so extremely severe so commonly, that preventing it via vaccination becomes critical. When I think about it and think about the statistics, I like to think about it more of like 100 people were to be infected, up to 15 of those people would be expected to die. And an additional 17 of those individuals would have severe impairments, things like permanent neurological disability, arm or leg loss, finger loss, or even hearing loss. So really things that are irreparable and permanent. When we think about meningococcal disease, some of the side effects that I talked about, meningococcal disease is a bacterial infection. It comes from Neisseria meningitidis. And where that infection goes is how some of those really terrible side effects that I just talked about from the infection occur. So people get brain infections, they get blood infections, so the bacteria is actually throughout their entire body. They also can get lung infections causing pneumonia. But overall, the bacteria itself is living on what we call our mucous membrane, on our nose and our mouth. When we talk a little bit more about who needs this vaccine, if we're spreading it through these droplets in our mouth, so when we're at parties and hanging out with people and sharing drinks, and anytime we're really close contact with people, that it's really easy to spread. An additional piece is really that there are up to 13 different kinds of meningitis. We call them serogroups, but there are really a few that are just much more common that cause these infections. And the much more common ones are A, C, Y, or W, and that's in the meningitis vaccine we're going to talk quite a bit about. And then a lot of other infections are also caused by a common serogroup B, which Dr. Schiff will touch on a little bit more.
Who should get a meningococcal vaccine?
Importantly, we should remember that the routine meningitis vaccine, which is recommended for everyone, would be given to all adolescents, ideally at age 11, and then again a booster shot 5 years later at age 16. So this is for the MenACYW, which at this point recommended for all teens coming into the clinic. And there are some indications for people with immunocompromising conditions and other factors where it would be given earlier and a different dosing schedule. But for the purposes of this, we want to just remember that all adolescents should be getting their first meningitis vaccine, which would usually be called the Menactra vaccine, along with a few other shots that they would come in and get at age 11, including the tetanus shot, the Tdap, the HPV vaccine, as well as the flu shot, hopefully. So, and I always try to see this as a triple aim or a quad visit where they're going to be getting 3 or 4 shots depending on the season. And hopefully this is just included in those. So there's also a chance to get a catch-up dose if people haven't gotten it at age 11. So that would be something to discuss with the doctor if you're coming in at a different time and you hadn't been in a while. And then also first-year college students who are living in residential housing, since they're going to be at a little bit higher risk, they're living around other people, they may have more close contact, they may be kissing, they may be sharing other bodily fluids. We recommend giving one dose for both military recruits and college students if they're not previously vaccinated.
At what age should a person get vaccinated for meningococcal disease?
If you're living in New York State, you likely already know if you have an 11-year-old that they require the vaccine for school at that time. They will send you out of school if your child is delinquent in that vaccine. So 11 years old is usually the first, and your second will be at 16. And similarly, they will send you out of school again for that. There are other ages of children, particularly young children who have unusual, complicated, immune-compromising either illnesses or have lack of a spleen, things like that. When you have a medically complex child, you'll be working closely with your doctor. I am certain they'll be recommending those vaccines for you, but making sure you're getting the regular care they recommend. In addition, there are some older adults who will be receiving the vaccine. for individuals who have HIV, for individuals who are traveling abroad, there is in Africa and Saudi Arabia, there are countries that have actually what's called the meningitis belt, where it is quite common and recommended strongly to receive that vaccine before you travel. So certainly anyone who's traveling abroad to those areas. And as we spoke about already, people who are living in those close quarters that we already think about getting vaccinated as well.
How often should someone get the meningococcal vaccine?
Okay, so I think we touched on this a little bit earlier in terms of getting the first dose at age 11 and then the booster dose at age 16. People with HIV, for example, should be given the meningococcal vaccine every 5 years, specifically the Menactra. And I'll take this time now to talk about a separate meningococcal vaccine that prevents against meningitis type B. Some data indicate that meningitis type B contributes to a number of these infections that we had earlier described caused by meningitis. And the vaccine at this point, there's no one shot that prevents every type of meningitis. And the two shots or several versions of these two types of vaccine that are on the market are sometimes given in combination. Now, MenB is just worth mentioning because there's some new vaccines in the last few years that are sometimes being offered. It's not a routine recommendation at this point to give that to every child, but certain universities and some schools have noticed that they've had outbreaks of meningitis type B. Most recently, Rutgers University and San Diego State University in 2019. But there's about 10 other universities prior to that where there had been meningitis type B outbreaks, as well as some schools in Canada and the UK. So in those schools, after the outbreak, university students were vaccinated. So some schools are now recommending prior to matriculating that college-bound students get meningitis type B vaccines. We don't always have those available in our office, but sometimes we will, and it may be covered under the Vaccines for Children program, depending on the age in which they're given, and they can help to prevent this other type of meningitis. It's a little more confusing in terms of when to give those or who should get them and at what age. There's certain people with high risks where those are recommended at all times for underlying medical conditions. And these would be people with some of the conditions that Dr. Nosal had mentioned earlier, with no spleen, sickle cell disease, or complement deficiencies, or where there's outbreaks. So that's tailored by the situation. But it might be worth discussing with the primary care doctor about meningitis B vaccines for all teens ages 16 to 23. And the preferred age for vaccination is between ages 16 and 18. And then there's some new guidelines that are related to the booster dose in these settings if there's increased risk. So these are just some of the things to discuss with your doctor when you're thinking about the MenB vaccine. But again, it's not recommended for everyone. So I think that that's an important consideration when we're worrying about that. And the reason why it's not recommended for everyone is because these vaccines are fairly new. They're still trying to figure out the optimal dosing schedules and how long they'll provide protection for. And also, we're not sure how often people are really at risk for these outbreaks, which have been noticed in the past.
Is there anything else people should know about the meningitis vaccine?
Thank you. I really think I want to emphasize, like so many of the vaccines we've talked about, meningitis is really one of the normal prevention routine vaccines. We really often think about meningitis in that 11-year-old visit as that Tdap, flu, meningitis, HPV timeline. So if you've got an 11-year-old or you've got a little kid who's going to be 11, or when you were 11, you didn't get those vaccines, that's a good time to be thinking about meningitis and the other vaccines at that time. Also, often young people are coming to the doctor, perhaps without their parent, but with parental permission for care. When they do that, it's really important as a parent that if your office has a system where you can sign a consent that your child may receive vaccines when you're not with them. 15-year-old, a 17-year-old will often be at the doctor's office with a parent knowing they're there for their school physical. When we have that note on file, we're able to make sure we keep them up to date on those vaccines. And it's a really wonderful opportunity at the doctor's office to make sure for that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nosal and Dr. Schiff, for all of this great information on the meningococcal vaccine, as well as the meningococcal disease. We encourage everyone to please listen to all of Miss Me's immunization podcasts. Thank you for listening.